you have your Bibles tonight, did you bring your Bible? All right. If you didn't bring your Bible, you had to have a sword. And you have to reach one under the chair and get one. Okay. Let's turn to Acts chapter 12. This was my devotion this morning. Pastor asked us to read through the book of Acts, and I'm doing that and trying to go slow and really meditate and think about and analyze what is being said and what's being done in the context of what's going on. And it's chapter 12. There is a whole lot of struggle going on with the world hating the church. Paul has been arrested. They have been beaten and stoned, left for dead. But the disciples surrounded him and they picked him up and he went on to another mission. So we learn from this whole context that in the world we will have trouble and tribulation, but Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And church, it's coming to Statesville. So we need to buckle up, toughen up, straighten up, and walk right. Because in the world, they're looking for somebody who will stand up and tell them the truth. Herod is a wicked king. He's going to behead James. He's already threatened the disciples. Someone said that Herod was neurotic. He was wicked and vile, prone to outbursts of anger and rage. Anybody like that? You know what that's all about? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. In verse 12, in chapter 12, verse 1, now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some of them who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put in death with a sword. When he saw that he had pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. Anybody know anything about unleavened bread? What's that all about? What is unleavened bread? When did the Jews eat the unleavened bread? During Passover, when they commemorated the death angel passing over in Egypt. They were forbidden to have leaven because of the rush. They didn't have time for the bread to rise, so God said, don't put any leaven in the bread. And they ate the meal with bitter herbs to remind them of the 400 years of bitterness and slavery. Passover was coming, and it was during this week of Passover, when they celebrate unleavened bread, that these events took place. So Herod is afraid to kill Peter during this time because he's afraid of the people to revolt. Look at verse 4. When he had seized him, he put him in prison delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Herod had in his mind that he was going to kill Peter also, just like he did James. Church, what are you going to do when they come after you? That's a serious question. Are you going to stand or cave in? Tuck tail and run like a turkey gobbler. Verse 5, so Peter was kept in the prison, but, I love this verse, prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Now we got to pause right here and let that sink in. Get the picture. Peter's been arrested, put in prison, and guarded by four squads of soldiers. But prayer is being fervently prayed by the church for him in prison. Think about that for a moment. We just prayed for a whole list of people. Do you really believe that our prayers have a way of making a difference in their lives? Fervent, effectual prayer. James said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we don't claim any righteousness of our own. It's all by the grace and mercy of God and Jesus Christ that we are made, declared to be righteous because of what he did. We are robed in his righteousness, not our own. Pastor quoted Ephesians 2:8-9, but he didn't quote verse 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What's the rest of that now? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God wants you to work, but not so you can get saved, because you've already been saved. You don't earn salvation. It's not available by working for it. It's not for sale. You can't buy it. You can't deserve it. All you can do is receive it as a free gift of God's grace. Now, verse 6. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, I loved it, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, wait a minute, stop right there. He knows tomorrow he's going to die, and yet he's chained to two soldiers, and he's sleeping. Wow. What does the Bible say? Great peace have they which love thy law. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The peace of God that passeth all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There are so many verses about peace, and Peter is experiencing that peace in prison, though he's under threat of death tomorrow. on the very night that Herod was going to bring him out and kill him the next day, Peter's sleeping. Will your faith let you rest in Jesus? Now we pick up the middle of verse 6. He was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. So he's well guarded. Herod didn't want this preacher to get away. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Miracles still happen. God is in the business of performing miracles. And God sent the angel. By the way, you know that angels are ministering spirits. They are messengers from God. They are supernatural beings, heavenly beings, that are servants of God to do God's will. And God sent that angel to Philip's prison cell to get him out of prison. Now here's the key. He did that in direct response to the church's prayers. If there's nothing else I say tonight, get that truth. The angel came from God to Peter in the prison cell in direct answer to the church's prayers. Now, how would you respond? How are you going to respond when God answers our prayers for these tonight? God's going to move. I don't know all what God's going to do, but I believe in all my heart that God heard our prayers and God's going to do something that's going to astound you and me. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. What about the light? The Bible says, God is light. When God shows up, there's light. Yeah. And he struck Peter by the side and woke him up. And he told him something. Get up quickly. Can you imagine in your mind, just close your eyes for a moment in the theater of your mind, just picture this cell. Here's Peter. He is chained to two guards. He's sleeping. The angel shows up, lies in the whole cell, wakes Peter up and says, get up quickly. And just as he said, get up quickly, and he started to move, the chains fell off his hands. Wow. Yeah. You're ahead of me right now. Okay. We're going to get there. I had a question. What happened to the guards? Did they see the light? Did they hear the gate open? We don't know. But whatever happened, they were totally oblivious to Peter being rescued out of the prison. They were totally oblivious. The world may not take note, but let me tell you something. God sees, God hears, God knows, and God moves. And we need to get in on what God is up to. Don't miss out on what God's doing. So the question comes, what is God doing in your life this week? I love that last part of verse 7, as the chains fell off his hands. Can you imagine chains rattling? Verse 8, and the angel said to him, gird yourself and put on your sandals. Stop. What is the armor of the Christian? From Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, number one, put on the girdle of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the helmet of salvation, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and then what else? Don't miss this. Prayer. Girdle of truth, helmet of salvation, feet shod with the gospel of preparation of peace, shield of faith, robe of righteousness, and prayer. And the angel said, put on your sandals, get your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peter, I'm going to get you out of here, and when you do, you're going to walk to Mary's house. Now, he didn't tell him that, but that's what happened. Let's read about it. Verse 8, and the angel said to him, gird yourself with your, put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, when you wrap your cloak around you and follow me. Good advice. Follow the angel. Follow the messenger. You know what? I paraphrase this. Do what he says. Just obey him. The scripture says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken to the fat of rams. It's better to obey God than it is to disobey God. You get in trouble when you do. Verse 9, and he went out and continued to follow, and he did not, I love this, and he did not know that what was happening was being done by the angel was real. But he thought he was seeing a vision. Peter was so wrapped up in this experience, he couldn't discern if it was really happening or if he was having a dream and a vision. They walked out of the prison. The gates opened on their own. The chains fell off. He got dressed. The light shone, and there was nobody got disturbed. Now, notice that he was guarded by how many guards? Four. So they went past the guards that were holding, that were chained to him, the guards that were outside the prison door, the guards that was guarding the whole prison, and then the gatekeeper out at the further front of the gate where it goes out to the street. Four of them. And none of them detected Peter as an angel. Now, that's a miracle. Verse 10, when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened for them by itself. Question, did it open by itself? They didn't see anybody open the gate, but God opened the gate. And you can't see God. You can see the results of what God does, but you can't see God. Hello? Question, what is God doing in your life tonight? Where do you see God working in your life? In your church, in your home, in your community, where do you see God working? Or are you oblivious to what God is doing all around us? It opened by itself. It opened, God opened it, but they couldn't see him because the Bible says nobody has seen God at any time. You can't see God. God is spirit. And they went out and went along the streets, and immediately the angel departed from him. How do you think Peter felt now? Was he jubilant? I mean, he'd been released out of prison, or was he flat scared out of his gourd? Maybe a combination, yeah. I love Peter because he's always opening his mouth. I say he has hoof and mouth disease. He opens his mouth and puts his foot in it before he thinks about what he's saying. I sometimes feel a lot like that too. I see myself in pity in Peter. He was departed, the angel departed from him. In verse 11, when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angels and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." I love that. "Now I know." Do you know? Have you heard? For sure, are you convinced in your heart? Peter said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod." Verse 12. There's a whole lot more to this story, and it gets better as we go along. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, John Mark, where many were gathered together and were, what? Praying. Let's learn one truth here tonight. If you are a true child of God, you delight in being associated with God's people, the church. The joy of my life is to worship God in church. I love to preach, I love to sing, I love to teach. I try to do the best I can with what I have left, but I want you to know that the joy of my life is to see people saved and baptized and fellowshipping together and growing in their love for one another and praising God, worship and praising God. That's what church is all about. I told you last time several things that the church is. The church is the people of God, the body of Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the community of love, the family of forgiveness, and God's redeeming agent in society. Now that's who the church is, and I want to be associated with the church. I want to be a part of that community of love. I want to experience that family of faith. I want to be among the people of God. And they were gathered together for prayer in Mary's house. I love this next part. When he knocked at the door, at the gate, the servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Don't you love Rhoda? She's a sweetheart. Oh, goodness, she's a sweetheart. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but she went back in to announce that Peter was standing outside by the gate. She couldn't contain her joy. She said, "I gotta go tell everybody. Peter's here. The Lord answered our prayers." Now be careful. When somebody gets excited about the Lord, our tendency and our inclination is to discredit them and say, be quiet and shut up and just don't get too excited. When she came to them and told them, Peter, stand outside at the gate. What was their response? They said, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. Girl, you've lost your marbles. I love Rhoda. Oh, goodness. But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, it's this angel. I noticed something here. When people do not believe the truth, they try to rationalize and make some excuse for something else that's feasible. Rather than believing the truth, the witness, we try to explain it away. That's the human nature, and that's the way the devil tries to deceive us and lead us astray. It's his angel. No, it's not his angel. It's Peter. And he's for real. And he's standing outside the gate. But Peter continued knocking. And when he had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. Let me ask you a personal question. How long has it been since you were amazed at what God was doing? You know that song, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. It's in our hymn book. I stand amazed in the presence. They were amazed. But most things with him with his hand to be silent. He described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, report these things to James and to the brethren. Then he left and went to another place. I like that last phrase. He went on to another place. Listen carefully tonight, church. The gospel was never intended to stop with us. Never. The gospel is intended to give it away. Take it to the next place. Share it with somebody you meet. Tell the good news. Shout it from the rooftops. Make it known. Publish it. Proclaim it. Declare it. Preach it. Sing it. Live it. The gospel is for giving it away, and when you give it away, it becomes more precious to you. Now the scene shifts back to the Herod and the people. Verse 18. Now when they came, I love this, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have happened, become of Peter. There was no small disturbance. They said, what? Where is he? What happened to him? You know, there's three kinds of people in the world. The people that make things happen, the people that watch things happen, and the people that say, what happened? What happened? And the people were wondering, what happened? They could not explain anything, but now listen as careful as you can. Listen to verse 19. When Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to execution. Then he went down from there to Judea, to Caesarea, and was spending time there. When Herod could not figure out what happened to him, he told the soldiers to kill the guards. It's a dangerous thing to try and guard God's man, lock him up and put him in prison. Think about this. Herod was wicked. He did not value life. He told the people to kill the guards because he assumed what? They had turned him loose. When he gave them strict orders to four squad guards to keep him securely safe in that prison. So he assumed that they had turned him loose. If you don't discern what God is doing, you're prone to make big mistakes. I ask the question again tonight. What is God doing in your life tonight? I'd like for us to spend the rest of our time praying. I'd like for you to just volunteer to pray. When everybody's praying that wants to pray, I'll close the prayer. Let's pray together. Somebody lead us in prayer.